World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Trying to, working hard to get things back to normal here and at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries, whatever it is that we do here. I'm like everybody else. I had a lot of events planned, a lot of things scheduled, and then the whole virus fiasco hit, and a lot of things got canceled, and people weren't allowed to go anywhere and do anything. And back-to-back weekends now, I traveled. We were in Omaha, Nebraska a week ago, out there with Ken Hall and a rally they were holding. And then this past weekend, John Barnett, God bless John Barnett, Gary Pierce, God bless Gary Pierce, and I jumped in Gary's vehicle, and we rode to out by Penn State, out to College Station, Pennsylvania, for a huddle. Bobby Lee put together a huddle out there. Bobby Lee and Terry Allen, man. Terry Allen really stepped to the plate, man. We had a rally, about 20, 25 people there. I never really got a firm count on it, but I think we're probably pretty close. You know, I got to see a lot of familiar faces. Gary Donahoe was there, and Steve Deck was there, and a lot of familiar faces and some different faces. And we held it at a Boy Scout campground. It's closed down right now, like everything else is. And we had access to this campground with cabins, bunk beds. We did a potluck. People brought in food. We had more food than you could ever eat. We did some great training, some great fellowship all day Saturday. We started about noon on Saturday, and we finished up about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, drove back home. And again, I just want to – God bless Bobby. Bobby's working at it, man. Bobby Lee is working it hard, and I sure do appreciate Bobby and everything that he did. And Terry Allen really stepped to the plate with that facility that he got for us, and he gave us a tour of the place. And so it was great. It was a great weekend. And so I returned home really, really fresh. I had fun just riding with John Barnett and Gary Pierce just, 11 hours together in that van on the way over and back. And we chewed on a lot of sausage, if you know what I'm talking about, and solved all the world's problems. And I can't emphasize to you all enough the importance of forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as I see that day approaching. And we didn't come out of there with any real hard ideas of what we need to do. But it was connecting eyeball to eyeball, person to person, fellowship with fellowship. And we want to begin to encourage people to do more and more. As an aside on that, we are having here, I'm announcing it today, on July 17th through the 19th. That's like a month away from right now. There's never a good time to do it. This is one of the things that came out of our event this weekend. We need to begin to help people get some practical skills on what to do. Practical skills. We can talk about the problems that are coming. We can talk about planting a garden. We can talk about all that stuff. But if you don't know what you're doing, it doesn't. You can plan all you want to. Our training is not very good. So, not all of us. Some are experts, and we want to begin to take advantage of the experts that we have in our midst, and begin to do some really true tactical training. So, July 17th through 19th. Now, this isn't up on the calendar. We'll get it all up on the calendar, but I'm announcing it to all of you now. It's July 17th through 19th. We are having a tactical training session here at Sky High, July 17th through the 19th. And we're going to do, I'll get more information out there to you. Chad Estes is going to come, and Chad is going to do, hear me now, about a 6 to 8 hour tactical training on the use of guns. We're going to do some training on pistols, how to handle pistols, the do's and the don'ts of pistols. We're going to do some training on long guns. That's what they like to call them, rifles, ARs, whatever gun that you have. We're going to do training. Now, this is really, really important because I know this. I just saw it again that we have some who are really, really good. If I were to call Gary and say, "Hey, Gary Donahoe, hey Gary, bring that AR with you, will you?" Gary would bring it, and half of the people would stand back and wouldn't say anything because they'd never seen an AR. They'd never seen one fired. They never. And so we need to make these kind of things not so foreign to us. Not that you have to have an AR, but would you like to know more about them? How to load them? How to shoot them? How to what do they call it? Sight them in? Night vision? Chad's going to do a training on all of that. Pistol, same thing. What's the difference between a 357 and a 45 and a 22? What is the difference? And how do you load them? And how do you unload them? And gun safety, yada, yada, yada. And just that's going to be about a 6-hour. Chad said it'll take 6 hours to do that properly. So we want you to come, even if you don't have weapons, even if you haven't been a shooter. We want you to come. Because it's going to be important more and more for all of us to have those. I'm thinking about my wife and my daughters. They have weapons, but are they proficient with them? Do they really know what it means? It's like having a car. Or me, I got a big tractor, nice tractor that I mow the grass with, everything up at Sky High, but I don't know how to operate it. So sometimes it just sits there. And some things I want to get done, I don't get a chance to get done because I don't know properly how to. I need somebody to take me through and show me how to do it. So we're doing this tactical training on July 17th through the 19th. We're trying to do it with no cost. We're going to ask people, like we did this weekend, maybe to chip in, bring potluck. I'll get more later on. Potluck food, we'll eat different meals with. It worked really well this weekend. And then the second part, it's actually three parts. Bobby Lee is going to do a brief lesson on hand-to-hand contact, combat defense. If you're out on the streets and these Antifa people start to come crazy and they come at you and you have to defend yourself, some very easy things you can do to make sure that you don't get sucker punched or beaten out on the street. You say, well, that would never happen to me. Well, it might happen to you. It might happen to your wife in Walmart. You might be with your wife in Walmart. We don't know what's going on. So Bobby's going to do a little session on that. And then Gary is going to do a session on shortwave radios, how they work, how they operate. Get us everybody who wants to know more about it. We're going to talk more about that because I'm thinking, I said to Gary, I would like people to come with their radio so that, because not all those radios are the same, right? And maybe Gary can give us some training on what would be the best ones to use, yada, yada. What I'm saying to y'all now is put it on your calendar, July 17th. Through the 19th. And I'm looking at Larry right now. Larry, I don't know if we want to burden you with the cooking and all that stuff. I don't know how that is, but if you want to, then we'll put you to work doing that.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of facilities you have in Sky High, but my mobile kitchen is now, it's equipped with 4 burners, not counting the flat top stove that has 2 burners. It has an air fryer, 2 barbecue grills, et cetera, et cetera. Wow. Sink on there, table. I'm ready to prepare.
Okay, cool. Good. So, Larry, we'll find that this is all the logistics we're working out. I have to talk to Mike Blake about use of out at the lake area there and all that kind of stuff. But this is going to be a nice thing. And we would like all of you, as many of you come as possibly can. We don't know how many it'll be. We have a shooting range. We have the ability to be able to do all of this. And so we would love for you to do that. Put that on your calendar, July 17th. We're going to start Friday night at 6 o'clock with Gary's going to kick us off doing the shortwave radio thing. 6 o'clock, then all day Saturday. Maybe Bobby was kicking us off. I don't know. But then all day we'll be doing shooting, fellowship. Well, it'll be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And we'll finish up a little church service, be out here probably by noon on Sunday. So please get that on your calendar and I'll get it on our calendar. We just came up with the specifics on it this weekend. Question, anybody got anything to add on that? Doesn't matter if you do. By the way, if you have a skill that you would like to teach, We want to begin to do more and more of these kind of things. If you have a specific skill that you think would benefit everybody, just contact me. Let me know. Say, Coach, I'd love to do a class on this. How about this one? Gary Donahoe ought to do this one. Canning. His wife, they're canning a lot of their food. Many of us, like Michelle and I, we got a half a cow coming here tomorrow. We have to go pick up a half a cow. And Gary's wife said, can it. She cooks it and cans it. Says you don't have to refrigerate it. So you put it in a can, and then it's a headache, right? It's a headache. Do you guys know how to do that? You know how to can? So if you have a session on that, we can't do everything this one coming up, but I felt a real move in my own spirit from, you know, all hands on deck when we go to the gay pride parade, which they're not having this year, and the abortion clinic. I shift a real, I gotta say this in the right way. I shift a real sense of making sure we are defensively prepared for what I just felt a real sense of that. Going out in the streets and abortion, we still do all that stuff, and we can maybe even work that stuff in, but people need to begin to understand how to defend their homes. And that's what this thing's about. So July 17th through 19th. Now I'm going to throw this one out there real quick too. Anybody local, things are really, Sky High is really getting going. God bless my son-in-law, Isaiah. He went up to Sky High this weekend with a mower and a weed whacker, and boy, that thing is really starting to shape up. But I'm going to have a work day on Saturday. Anybody in the local area who could come and help us pick up stuff, pick up twigs, nothing heavy, and we'll eat, drink, and be merry and do some fellowship and clean up. It would really help us if you could do that. So we're going to be doing that. If you are available to come and help us, that would be great too. If you can't, you just want to come and so I can't do anything. Well, come and fellowship and laugh at us. You can do that too. So that's going on this weekend. Thanks again to Bobby, to Terry Allen, to Gary, to Steve, to man. This is a great weekend. Great weekend. So I'm encouraged. Let me open it up. Anybody got anything you want to throw on the table here real quick before I get into what I feel the Lord had me do today? Okay, cool. I'm looking here. Okay. What is truth? What is truth? You know, we ended up on Friday. I was kind of animated on Friday. I was really fired up. I'm a little more calm this morning, I guess. The battle in America is over truth. When you really, really zero it in, our fight is over truth. What is the truth? I could show you that video clip. I'm not going to do that. Of Jesus standing before Pilate, and Pilate says, are you a king? And Jesus says, basically, well, those are your words. Everybody else is saying that about me. Those are your words, not mine. And then Jesus said, for this purpose came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And all those who hear my voice hear the truth. And does anybody know what Pilate responded? What's truth? When you think about it today in America with values, clarification, and moral relativism, and Oprah Winfrey telling all of us we all have our own truth, follow your own truth. Is there such a thing as a your truth, or is there a truth? Is there the truth? That's where the battle lies. And unfortunately, from my opinion, it has crept into Christianity. That in Christianity, the divisions that we have within the body of Christ are over the truth. They're over the truth. As we were driving through Washington, PA yesterday, coming home, I pointed it out to Gary and John yesterday's drive through the city, the big steeples, the old steeple, the old churches that were there, the old Presbyterian church still out there probably, and the old Baptist church and the old Methodist. The Methodist church doesn't teach the truth anymore, folks. The Presbyterian church, as far as I know, They teach a little bit of the truth. They have some of the truth, but the Bible doesn't say you shall know some of the truth, or you shall know our version of the truth, or you shall know our denomination's version of the truth. It says you shall know the truth. For instance, I don't want to get into this fight. Is there a pre-tribulation rapture or not? Folks, there has to be a truth. What is the truth? Pilate said. That is the battle everywhere we look across the American spectrum. What is the truth? Can a man believe he's a man being a woman? Can a woman be in a man's body? Can a man be in a woman's body? What is the truth? Don't give us all this pseudoscience, this psychology. What is science and what is truth? Because science is, my paraphrase, the study of the truth. That's what all science is. Science produces evidence and conclusions regarding whether or not something is true. Is global warming true? Is it true? Well, no, we don't. Well, then why do we teach it to our children as truth? Is America a fascist nation? No. Well, why do we teach in our schools that it's a fascist nation? Did little children come from monkeys? No. Well, why do we teach them they came from monkeys? The battle is always the truth. And if you remember when Eve was in the garden and Adam was in the garden, is that Genesis? Where is that in Genesis? Is that 4? Is that Genesis 4? I think it is. Pull that up, Jared. Genesis 4. And Adam, the devil shows up. The serpent shows up in Genesis 4. Good old Jared is trying to find King James Version. Had a baby, Jared. And Adam knew his wife Eve, bore son Abel, came back. We're way ahead. Maybe it's Genesis. Where is the serpent? Was it in 3? Is it Genesis 3?
3.
Genesis 3:15.
3. Thank you. Because we have to understand how this whole thing begins, right? And the serpent, there it is. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the earth. Go back up, Jared. That may have been about 6 or 7. There it is. Yeah, thank you. And the woman said, let's go to 1. I'm sorry, sir. That Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle. What does that word mean, subtle? Deceptive, cunning, able to deceive. Now the devil, the serpent, was more deceptive than any other animal, any beast of the field. Ooh, I'd like to break that one down. Beast of the field, not the beast of the air, was it? Anyway, which the Lord God had made and said unto the woman, yea, has God really said that you can't eat of the tree of the garden? God really say that to you, Eve? And the woman looked at him. See, Eve knew the word. She said to the serpent, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But, she said, we ain't allowed to eat of that one in the middle. Because if we do that, as soon as we do that, we're going to die. The devil, what's he say? He's subtle, right? Come on. You're not going to die. There becomes the deception, right? The attack on the truth. Eve knew the truth. And the truth was assaulted by the serpent. For God knows, Eve, if you kick off all those rules and regulations and you get your real liberty and you can be part of Antifa and you can start a brand new country, you'll be able to do all that. And you'll know the difference between good and evil and you'll be just like God. And so Eve begins to scratch her head and says, huh. She did begin to notice that tree was good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes and to a tree and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she says, well, yeah, maybe old Beelzebub's right here. Let me just give a taste of that. And then what? She ate. And here's the most amazing scripture of all. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. So Adam's standing right there. Adam is standing right beside Eve. Instead of Adam stepping in front of Eve and saying to the serpent, leave my wife alone, would you? I'm in charge here. Get the hell out of here.
Amen, Coach.
He stood there and allowed his wife to be deceived. Planted thoughts in her head that she had never had before. And so she eats it. And he's watching and he's thinking, wow, I don't want my wife to be smarter than me. So he says, yeah, give me a little bit of that, honey. And it all starts. All starts with a very basic principle of truth being questioned, right? So what is the truth? Therein lies the battle in America. It's what all the politics is all about. It's what everything we see is about, truth. So I have on there, Jared, I said, what is the truth? Maybe you can bring that up there for me. I put this together earlier this morning. Excuse me. This is from John MacArthur. And I just want to pull, again, listen, theology aside, some of you said, oh, I don't like John MacArthur. Stop it. As anyone today, what is truth? What is truth? Let's go back to starting point. It was one of the most profound and eternally significant questions in the Bible. When Pilate, the man handed over the crucified to Jesus, turned to him and said, hey, dude, what's the truth? It was a rhetorical question, he said, right? And 2,000 years later, we're still fighting over that same thing. What is the truth? So he says, what is the truth? MacArthur says, what is it? Others believe truth is a collective judgment. Some believe it's a product of cultural consensus. What's the truth? So MacArthur said a simple definition of the truth of the Bible says this. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. And we'll say that again. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, the will, the character, the glory, and the being of God. Truth is the self-expression of God. Folks, when you speak the truth, when you earnestly contend for the truth, you are at that moment giving the greatest representation of Christ that you can possibly give. The Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you allow people to whittle away at truth, it is an assault, a direct frontal assault on Christ and the truth of God. That is the battle. And see, we've been programmed in America that to criticize or question the truth is not kind. It's the serpent. You have to be more tolerant. Don't be so judgmental, right? No, we're just trying to isolate the truth here. I just want to know the truth. He says truth is ontological, which is a fancy way of saying it is the way things really are. Reality. Truth is reality. Bruce Jenner is a man. He's a man. Right? Global warming, if it's going on, is not... It's not man-made. It's a natural consequence of nature, if that's right. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? A human being in a mother's womb is a person. It's truth. So our battle is and will continue to be over the truth. I'm going to shut up. I hear somebody trying to get in.
Yeah, Coach?
Yep.
You're hitting the nail on the head with a whole bunch of hammers. But there's one aspect of the truth that people need to get a grasp of before they start dealing with individual issues and individual facts strung together. And that is that the truth is the whole truth. Because even Satan used scripture. Scripture is true. Scripture is true. Well, it's true when it is whole, presented in its entirety in that subject area. Because, see, Satan took it out of context, twisted it just a little bit. And even though it was scripture, Jesus later said of Satan that he is the liar, the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. Yet there was scripture in him. He was able to bring it up, able to twist it and use it. So we have to be really, really careful and understand that truth is such an important concept, such an important foundational bedrock of who Jesus is and who his family is, that we can't cherry pick truth. We can't cherry pick truth.
The battle lies for truth, folks. That's what Romans 1, can you pull that up there real quick, Jared? Romans 1. That's what Romans, folks, that's what Romans 1 is all about. The entire first chapter of Romans, begin verse 20, Jared, if you could. It's what the entire book is back. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power, the truth is there. We are without excuse. But because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, neither were they thankful, but they came what? Vain in their imaginations. The same thing that happened to Eve. She never thought about why she wasn't allowed to eat from that tree. She just knew she wasn't allowed to. And when the devil came along and said, you got to eat from that tree because your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be smart and you're going to see things that you've never seen before. And all of a sudden, Eve had a reason to eat. She had a reason to do it, right? Through what? Through deception. And it just went on and on, professing them wise to be fooled. As soon as you get off of truth, that is a path that does not lead to a very good spot. And you look across the culture of America, you look across the churches of America, and look at the consequences, dare I say it, of bad theology. Look at it. Look at the consequences of, dare I say it, Larry, Jesus loves everyone. Folks, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. You say, Coach, you're crazy. I'm going to show you from the scriptures here. But bad theology, walking out and thinking that God loves some scumbag that wants to rape my granddaughter, God loves him and I'm supposed to love him. We don't understand what love is, see? And because we don't understand that you cannot separate, my friends. Listen, if you're a Christian, you cannot separate love from truth. You have to love the truth. And we don't. Or we don't know the truth. Because truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. And the denial of truth is the denial of Christ. Anybody think I'm wrong on that? Quiet crowd. Come on, somebody come on in here. Come on. Say, Coach, you're making me nervous. Well, I'm trying to tell, because folks, listen, one of the discussions we had this weekend when we were in Pennsylvania, Antifa's coming to a town near you, friends. They're coming to a town near you. Maybe not everybody's town, but they're coming. And what is your obligation as a Christian? What is the expression of love that you have when somebody shows up with your door with evil intentions? What is your response as a Christian man or a Christian woman with a house full of Christian grandchildren? What is the truth regarding the love of God and your reaction to it? Are you guys following the question I'm asking? Are you following? Because there's an element of Christianity that will say to you, well, they're what? They're nonviolent. They don't believe that they're going to roll over and take it. Why? Because they want to be Christ-like, and greater love is no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. And it's this confusion of in Christianity is what does love do? What is love? How will you recognize love? How do you recognize love? Well, love is truth. They're the same, friends. They're the same. Oh, man. Nobody's got anything to say? I'm not hitting a bell with anybody here?
You're nailing it, Coach. You're nailing it. Amen.
I think I am too, but So I...
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So let's pull this up here, Jared. Pardon me, sir. Hey, Jared, give me the 20. It says, what is love, Jared? 21 characteristics of love. Of love. I just Googled this and just found this. What do you think about these things? We hear about love. Okay, here's 21 characteristics. We'll try to go through them as quickly as you can. Hey, Larry, You taught me this. Well, you didn't tell you reinforced this. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. Now, hang on, friends. Hang on. Did you ever say about one of your friends or one of your neighbors or somebody, say, oh, well, he's just of the world. He's worldly. Well, we love him anyway. He's worldly. Is that what the Bible? What? Love not the world, nor the things of the world. That's what happened to Eve. Let me run down through these here. 21 characteristics. I'm not going to comment on all of them. Love is patient. Now, we know there's different types of love. I'm going to come back to that too, right? Different kinds of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Hey, to whom? To whom am I kind? To the guy who's got a gun and wants to rape my wife? Am I kind to him? Oh, sure. Come on. You want a sandwich when you're done? Can I make you a sandwich after you've had your way with my wife? That would be kind, wouldn't it? Love is not envious. Love is humble. Boy, we don't even know what that means either. Love is respectful. Keep scrolling, Jared. Love is selfless. See, greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends because he's selfless. And I'm going to lay down my life to protect my friends. And then that may be grabbing my gun and running into a group of people that are not friendly. And I'm going to do everything I can to defend those that I love. Why? It's selfless. I'm not going to sacrifice my family to be kind to the wicked. I'm not going to do that. If you're doing that, there's something wrong with you. Love is calm. Love is righteous. Boy, I could preach on that. Love is honest. How about that one? Huh? And what happens to you today if you're honest with those around you that you love? What happens to you if you speak to your child's sinful lifestyle? Or don't speak to it? Well, love was honest. Love, dudes, protects. Love protects. Huh? Yeah. From what? Whatever. Well, what if the guy coming to rape my wife? Should I love him too? Well, dude, if you're loving some guy that's about to rape your wife, you got yourself some serious, serious problems with love. Love is trusting. Wow. These are deep. Love is hopeful. Love is persistent. You keep praying for that guy. You keep testifying to that guy. You keep reaching out to that guy. You see a spark of life in him, a spark of hope, a spark of maybe, and you're persistent and you stay after it. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Love banishes fear. After my wife, I may be afraid, but dude, I'm putting my fear aside and I'm going to go and I'm going to lay down my life for my wife. Love loves even those who don't love it. That's kind of crazy, right? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, but those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. So see, we're messed up with the type of love. We don't understand love. I've come into that. Love comes from God. In fact, love is God. Love makes great sacrifice. Love loves through action. Don't tell me how much you love me. Show me how much you love me. Love loves itself. True love takes care of itself, not hurts itself. That's why you wouldn't be smoking cigarettes and drinking beer and taking drugs. Love loves itself. 20, love binds a person's good virtues in perfect unity. And then 21, love gives you confidence to face even the end of time. So our misunderstanding of love leads to misapplication of truth. We don't want to offend because we love. No. Folks, you offend because you love. We have it exactly backwards, right? I'm going to speak the truth to you, regardless of the consequences, because I'm laying down my life. I'm a dead man. It doesn't matter to me. You get angry with me, I'm sorry. I'm laying down my life. Tell you the truth. I'm sacrificing our friendship to tell you the truth. I'm sorry. I'm laying it down. You with me? You picking it up? Let me pause there. I got nothing more to get to. But always I know that things pop in people's head. I want to hear from you.
I'll throw something out, Coach. What kept in my head was thinking about your children. When you punish your children, and what do parents say? I know if you're a parent, you said, this hurt you more than this hurt me more than you. You hurt our children. But some.
Is Mark breaking up for everybody else?
Yes.
Hey, Mark, you cut out during about those last.
Yeah.
Can you say those four sentences again? Because I think they're important.
Yeah. Can you love as a parent while you're disciplining your children, and you think this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? I know I've probably said it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But God has disciplined us.
Amen.
What would we do as God to the children of Israel? What would we do as God to the Nephilim before Noah? Would we have loved them? Would we have loved the people of the Shinar region that God said destroy all men, women, children? Would we have loved them like God's children did? They went in there and loved them. They went in there and loved them. And then they mingled with them. And then God destroyed his children. He destroyed his own inheritance because they went in there and loved abominations in the Shinar region.
A misunderstanding and misapplication of what love is.
What would we do? What would our love do? Will it kill somebody like God's love has done?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Larry. Good point, Mark.
What a point Mark made. And also that one – Let's first lay the groundwork that list of what love is did not proclaim to be a biblical list, did it?
No, it did not. No, it did not.
Okay, because just like dear Abby back when she used to do columns, she had a deal about what are the good things children are about children, and she had a whole big long list. Only a few of them were from the Bible. But the one that you had about keep being patient in the aspect of keep revealing, you know, that is an ungodly principle. Because the godly principle is this. Okay, disciples, get ready, go out, twos, threes, go out, you know, when you get to a town or a city or something like that, ask around, find out who's worthy for you to stay with them, hang out with them, spread the word, you know, do what you're supposed to be doing there. But if that place doesn't accept you, if it doesn't receive the word, you stay there and keep doing it some more. Just hang in there until they understand it. Just keep loving them and telling them until they figure it out. No, shake the dust of that place off your feet and get the hell out of there.
I agree with you, Larry, but I think we're talking about two different situations. I agree totally with what you said. It's different when you're dealing with a family member or somebody that you're still continually trying to reach out to. It's the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is about the sower and where he's thrown his seed. And the parable of the sower, the Lord tells the sower, don't throw it here and don't throw it here and don't throw it here. Throw it here. And so there's a discernment there about where we ought to throw the seed. But I think it's a different thing when we get into relationships with other people, family relationship, friends, whatever. I persistently keep trying. I keep throwing fish. I keep throwing bait in there trying to hook. I keep trying to do that. But at the same time, you have to realize when it's not being fruitful. Stop.
Yeah, if the Spirit tells you to keep throwing it, keep throwing it.
That's right.
If the Spirit tells you to stop throwing it, you keep throwing it, you become an impediment. You become a roadblock to the work of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And you're wasting it too. Yeah, somebody else, come in.
Yes. Yeah, just here's a question. When you're talking about the Israelites moving into the promised land, So did the Israelites really love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and might when they did not wipe everybody out as God commanded them?
That's what he asked him to do, right? Sometimes, again, sometimes we think we know better than God. Ooh, that's mean, Lord. I'm not going to do that. That's mean. Oh, okay. Well, you know better than me.
Surely thou shalt not die.
That's right. You're not going to die. Come on. Stop. I'm a loving God, right? So we need to move here. This is pretty interesting. Let's move to the, where is it? What is love, Jared? It says, what is love? There are four different kinds. Most of you probably already know this. These are from the Bible, by the way, but I'm going to show you some others that the psychologists have added to it. So there are four types of love in the Bible. Yeah. Yep. Come in.
Yeah, just want to throw just a quickie in there. Some old well-studied old white guys, to quote them, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Not all truth was self-evident, but these truths are self-evident. Truths are difficult. Some truths are difficult to discern. But these truths are self-evident.
Hey, Jack, a woman doesn't kill her baby. That's evident, right? That's a self-evident truth.
Hey, Kay.
Yes.
Can I go back to something that when you started about truth and reality?
Sure.
Because this is the fundamental. These are the pillars of our faith and what we need to understand about the Bible. Truth is reality as spoken about, addressed, and defined by God. God created all things. So who would be the best person to define a reality about a given subject or aspect of our existence than God? The creator would. And the essence is the deceiver, the cunning, has always taken an aspect of that truth and contorted it, twisted it enough to get you off that truth.
That's right. Cunning and deceptive, right? More subtle than any beast of the earth. That's right.
And as long as you continue in that path in your walk, you end up being separated from God further and further and further, because you're walking in a distance away from the truth.
That's right. And he is a person, right? And so when you move away from the truth, you move away from Christ, from godliness.
As reality defined by God. And that's why we're living in alternate realities and virtual realities, because God has addressed all aspects of our existence. Maybe not every instant, but all aspects of how we should interact with him, how we should interact with others, what's a family, what's our reason, what's our purpose, and why we're even in the existence of this world, and why sin is in the world, and that God is going to judge. Because God is righteous, and because he's righteous, he's just, and because he's just, he needs to judge his creation. But they misunderstand long-suffering with indifference of God. Because God's long-suffering does not mean he's indifferent to the injustices that have happened, because there is an accounting that everyone will stand in front of Christ and give an account for what they do.
That's the truth.
And people have not been, people A, don't believe that's a reality, and two, they misunderstand that God has given them the option to be redeemed back, to return back to him, and they don't even understand that. And
he's given them the right to be wrong, actually, right? He's given them the right to be wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, one thing that I kind of stress when I do prison ministry, because these people have done some bad things, is I say, God's not going to send you to hell for what you did. He's going to send you to hell because you will not accept his way back of redemption.
Yes, sir.
Nor change your ways. That's right. You know, because God has to judge the sin, and he did that through Christ. He did judge the sin. But we refuse to accept God's reality and we refuse to repent and accept his redemption. Because the Bible is really, if you look at the Bible just from front to back, very little of it has to do with the creation. Very little of it really has to do with judgment. You know, there's Revelation, and yes, there's different judgments. It's all about redemption, because God does love man. Man's the only creation of God that has the ability to be redeemed. Angels don't have to be, cannot be redeemed.
Amen. Amen. But Craig, we get bound up in what is love. God so loved the world. So we have four types. Good job, Craig. I don't mean to ignore the points you made. So the four types of love, we know this. Scroll down, Jared. Most of us know this, but it's a refresher for us. There's what they call eros, which is sensual romantic love. There's storge, which is familiar love. Love for your brother, love for one another. You're familiar with them. I think it's storge. I think that's the way that's pronounced. And then down below is what they call what? Philia. Brotherly love that unites believers. The love that I have for Jeff Klein or Mark Trump or Larry or Roger Weaver, that's brotherly love. And then they have agape love, which is a love almost beyond what the human being can do. It's God's love for mankind, and it's a love that we can't understand. We see, it's like we say to people, our young kids, how do you know, mom, how do I know when I'm in love? And what do we say? You'll know, right? Because you'll know. So as we scroll down here a little bit, what are these four types? Because they don't all apply in the same place, right? There are four unique forms. Going down farther, Jared, I'm sorry. I want to make this as quickly as I can. What is eros? What is eros? Love in the Bible. There's a picture of eros. Man, woman. It comes from the Greek word erotic. Right? Erotic. They're erotic. It comes from the Greek word for sensual, romantic, erotic. Watching porn is not erotic. Watching porn is not love. Love in the form of eros seeks its own interest and satisfaction. It possesses the object of the love. Eros is, I want to have that. I love Thunderbirds. I love golf. That's not the kind of love that God has. I won't. Okay, eros. Next one, Jared. Is storge. Storge. What is storge? Love, the four type of love in the Bible. Well, storge is a form of love in the Bible that relates to family love, familiar love. You don't love your sister the way you love your girlfriend. I hope you don't. They are not the same. They're both loves, but they're not the same thing. So we have eros, storge, I guess it says here, storge, right? Our love for members of our family, love the saints. Next one, Jared. We have philia is love in the Bible. What is that, Jared? What is philia? It is love for one another, an intimate love, one person for another. Buddies. Yeah, I have a lot of friends, but I really love Mike Blake. Mark Trump's a really good buddy of mine. I love everybody in the queue, but I have a different kind of love for Gary. You with me? Different types of love. And then the last one, by the way, that's the most general type of love that we see in the world is philia, love for one another. That's the most common we'll see. And then the last one is agape love. And agape is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. And the term basically defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind, an unconditional, sacrificial love. Now, that's the love. When the Bible says that God so loved the world, that's what they're talking about. But folks, it's an unconditional love to those who are in relationship with the Father. If you are not in relationship with the Father, His agape love is available to you, but you are not in an agape relationship with Him. And this is where I think we in Christianity make the greatest mistake. We think God loves everybody, and we don't understand it. So go ahead. Those are the four types. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, that agape type love, I've heard it preached, especially early in my Christian walk when I was around the PTL crowd and all that, about how that was God kind of love and everything, and only God and God's people are capable of that. But that's not true. When Luke 6:32 has the word love in it four times, and all four times it's the same agape base for the love word. And it says, "For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." All four of the words love in that one verse are from agape. That's the word used in the Greek that's been translated into English. So we have to be really careful if we start placing certain specifics on certain words. If it's not true in every instance, then mm-hmm. we can't proclaim it to be a truth.
So I very, very good, Larry. In fact, you just raised a flag for me right there. See, I would define agape love as a general overall concern. That's what I think agape love is. And I think, folks, that you will see a general overall concern amongst Antifa. They have agape love one for another on their team. They all have this overall concern for everybody out there burning down the buildings with them. They have but that's not a godly love, folks. That isn't a God. That's not the same. Those guys have a counterfeit for the same type of love that the brethren are supposed to have for one another. It's just a convoluted, distorted version of that same agape love, that you love those who love you for the most part. You're hanging around your buddies, right? So the idea that we're supposed to love those Antifa the way I'm supposed to love my own children, dude, there's something wrong with you if you think that's the way the world operates. Because we don't have this understanding. Hey, sometimes love requires killing. Said what? Sometimes love requires killing. That's hard for a Christian to get through his head, doesn't it? Read your Bible. Read the Bible. And this is because we have this misunderstood characteristic of what love is. We don't get it. Come on in, 301.
Aiding and abetting evil is not underneath love. Furthering the kingdom of darkness and evil is not love.
That's it, brother. So I circle right back. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. Folks, are unsaved people of the world? Now, we can have an agape love for them. We can have an overall concern for them. We hope, that's why we preach the gospel. We have an agape love. We understand they're trapped in a demonic mindset. We understand that they're caught up in Romans 1. We understand that. And yes, we have a general concern. We wish, the Bible said that God wishes that none, that all would come to Christ. Everybody would come. That's God's will, that all would come. If it's God's will that all would come and not all come, then we don't understand God's will. See, God's will doesn't make everybody come. It's His desire that everybody would. Those are not the same thing. And I'll say here proudly, without any reservation, I will kill to protect my wife. I will kill to protect my grandchildren. I will kill to do that. I believe that's a Christian virtue. Does anybody disagree or agree with that?
Amen.
Why? Because I love truth. I love truth. And so as we double back or circle back around on this, as I started to say or did say, the battle we're facing is over truth. And we're hearing so many untruths in our churches, even about what love is, the misunderstanding of what love is. And if you have a misunderstanding, or if you're believing a lie about truth, it will impact your behavior.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
All of the love doctrine Christians out there that don't want to or don't understand the American history, want to run and talk about how many times Christians have been shoved into Christian churches and burned alive.
Mm.
Fast forward to today, how many churches within the last few years have literally been burned down, minus the Christians inside them. So the love doctrine population need to ask themselves, at what point do we step forward and fight back and take life when necessary in order to save the Christian lives inside and around us.
Okay, so Bobby, let's only got a few minutes left here, folks. Let's consider this one. Now, listen, I'm not talking about killing and guns and all. Don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. If we love the truth, should we sit back and watch them tear down statues of Christopher Columbus? Should we let them tear down statues of Robert E. Lee? Should we let them paint graffiti on Abraham Lincoln? If we love truth, should we permit that to go on? Because as we heard about George Orwell, 1984, it's the rewriting and the destruction of history that helps them promote their lie.
Dave, that action would be an affront to our Christian faith by allowing it to take place.
Because it was the truth, Roger, right? What they did was truth. They weren't perfect men, but we are where we are because the truth is these guys had the bead on the spirit at their time. And by tearing them down is tearing down the truth of what our heritage was.
Which then is a front to our Christian faith, yep. Which is built on absolute truth in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Roger, They'll tear down statues of Jesus next. You know that, right, folks? You know that's coming, right? Go ahead, Larry.
You know, we're all just flabbergasted when we see the Muslims over in Afghanistan take, you know, explosives and just blow up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old monuments and things. Oh, how horrible, destroying history like that. Oh, how horrible. And then we stand back and some of us calling ourselves Christians cheer when they take down history. Here in the United States, we're not consistent. Well, a lot of people calling themselves Christians are not at all consistent. They're just so wishy-washy. And, you know, what's the Bible say? If you're wishy-washy, don't expect any of your prayers to get answered.
Hey, Jared, click in there for me real quick. I just heard the Holy Spirit. Jared, what is the antonym? That means opposite, folks. Opposite. What's the antonym? I lost my track. I can't believe I lost. I couldn't think what antonym was. And all of a sudden, what is the antonym for fundamentalist? Fundamental. What's the antonym for that? Because they'll call me a fundamentalist. Many of you in the queue, they'll call you guys a fundamentalist. Well, if they're not a fundamentalist, what are they? What are they if they're not a fundamentalist? I was a football coach. I coached the fundamentals. So the antonym for a fundamentalist would be what? What would it say? Non-essential, secondary, insignificant? What would we call them? I'm a fundamentalist. They are a subordinate. They are an unimportant. They are a trivial. They are a secondary. What are they? If you're not a fundamentalist, what are you? And is it important whether or not you operate according to fundamentals? We talk about the fundamental, the essentials of our faith. Well, that's a non-essential, really. Hey, folks, you know why non-essentials aren't important? Because non-essentials are often not true. If they're true, they're not non-essentials. If they're true, they're essentials. So when you hear somebody say, well, that's a non-essential, that's not worth arguing over. Well, actually, it is worth arguing over. It's not worth dividing over. Those aren't the same things.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just want a couple sentences here out of the daily devotional. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Hate evil, you who love the Lord.
Hate evil, you who love the Lord. And I hate to tell you this, sometimes evil is embodied in other people. Love the sin, hate the sinner. Okay, cool. Which one gets thrown into the lake of fire, the sin or the sinner? Right? I love truth. That's my desire, to love truth, to defend truth, to expose truth, to spread truth. And we, as representatives of the gospel of the kingdom, have an obligation to defend the truth wherever we see it under assault. That's love, man. That is love. If Jesus is love and you can't trust what he tells you, that ain't much love. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.